the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as he shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in the dust.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Scaredy Cats. I'm your host, Dan Hummer. I'm here with Mindy.
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just hanging out. We got the movie ATM today, starring Josh Peck. So we're going to get into that. Before we do, we got a couple plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Saturday for the main show on Wednesday and the Hollywood Hangout on Saturday. Make sure to check out Sean at Elite Diplodoc on YouTube for his video games. And make sure to check us out 6:30 p.m. Friday for Unscripted Wrestling, 7 p.m. on Saturday for Unscripted Unlimited, and here at 3 p.m. for Scaredy Cats.
Okay.
We got a lot of good stuff coming up, so make sure to keep listening and see what we're going to keep doing. You want to get into the news, Mindy, before we get into the movie?
Yeah, sure. So we got a lot of good things that are going to be coming up, not this year, but next year. Unfortunately, everybody heard me talk about Orphan, the prequel that came out. From what I heard, not a good movie. It was a flop.
Really?
Kind of disappointed about that. Yeah, the budget is like $1.2 million in the box office so far is only like in the $500,000. And everyone that's seen it so far is liking it. But for the Final Destination fans, I have some good news. They are doing a Final Destination 6. It should be out later this year. Jeepers Creepers 4 finally got a release date. It'll be in October. A lot of good stuff is coming out in October. You got the end of the Halloween trilogy. Then you got this movie that I'm talking about. Beetlejuice is also going to be coming as well. Brad Pitt's production company picked it up. I know it's not exactly horror, but it's kiddie horror. So we'll see what happens. Also, in some new movie that Mindy's watching news, because we all know that I watch stuff for you guys every week, I have two new movies that you guys go check out. One is called Slapface. It is on the app called Shudder. You can get that app for free, in a free trial, and then cancel it. That's what I'm doing. Basically, it's a satire on abuse and how somebody can crack. So it's really good. It's got a creature in there. It's good. It's got a good story to it. It's good. But then, in later news, for anyone that has Hulu, there's a movie out called Rent-A-Pal. And Rent-A-Pal is about a man who is desperately lonely, guys. He's so lonely. And he's going, and like I was just telling Daniel, it has to be set in the 90s because they did like home phones and VCR tapes. So it didn't say that it was based in the 90s, but how? That it had to have been. But basically, you got a lonely-ass guy who's taking care of his sick mother. She doesn't appreciate him for anything he does because she's so sick that she doesn't understand what he's doing for her. And his father committed suicide. He's just all kinds of fucked up, dudes. And he goes and he gets a match, the dating thing. For him, with his bad luck, he left his wallet at home because he was so excited that he finally matched with somebody. Well, in between the drive back home to grab the wallet and to get back to the dating service, unfortunately.
You still there?
Oh.
Mindy?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. What was the last thing I said? I got on mute, guys.
About the guy going?
Oh, to the dating service?
Yeah.
So in between the drive back to the dating service from his house after he grabs his wallet, he ends up finding out that the young lady that he just matched with, he no longer matched with. She found a different guy. So he has a breakdown. And he finds a videotape called Rent-A-Pail. He purchases it right away, takes it home. Oddly enough, the guy that plays the Rent-A-Pail is actually none other than Will Newton.
Will Newton?
Wait, not Will Newton. The guy from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, Sheldon?
No. His nemesis.
Oh.
Oh,
Will Wheaton. I was about to say, how's my childhood friend?
Yeah, Will Wheaton. Sorry, guys. I mixed up the last name. Mindy's sick right now, so sorry, guys.
Sorry, Willie. There you go for the shout-out. He sells cars now. So.
All right, well, there you go. Go buy a car from Willie. But anyways, Will Wheaton plays the lead of the guy that's in the videotape, and it's really weird. This guy has like an emotional connection with this tape, and like, you guys are gonna have to go out and see it. I'm not gonna give any more spoilers other than that, but I would have to say at least a 7.5 out of 10 for me.
So that was a good one.
It was a good one. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was dark. It was funny. There was some decent kills in there. It was sad. It focused on everything you would have thought it focused on.
That sounds dope.
It was a good one. Definitely go to Hulu. Check it out. Rent-A-Pail. So, and one other thing I forgot to touch on is I Am Legend 2 has officially started filming. Will Smith will be in the film.
Very good.
I don't know why they're doing it, because that movie came out like 15 years ago.
You know who else is in it, right?
I do, but I can't pronounce his name right, and I don't want to butcher it.
No, it's Michael B. Jordan.
That's who it is.
The kid from Creed and Black Panther. Like, kind of America's sweetheart right now. He's like the new Will Smith, so.
Yeah, so basically the old Will Smith and the new Will Smith are teaming up.
Yeah.
So, and I Am Legend technically isn't a horror movie, but it is technically a zombie movie.
Yeah, that counts.
So I guess that would count as news. But yeah, that's right now, guys, that's all I got. I'll probably have more next. You know, I'll have more next week for you guys. But
right
now, that's all I got.
Well, let's get into ATM then, Mindy. What was your initial thoughts on this movie? This is one that we've seen a couple times. It came out in 2012. Not really a big budget movie, but kind of a cult hit a bit. What do you?
Yeah, it was one of
those
movies that hit after it was in theaters.
Right.
Like, it was kind of a bust when it was in theaters. No one really picked it up. But once it got out of theaters, it kind of became a cult classic. Daniel's going to kill me because Daniel loves this movie. But I've collectively seen it three times. Last night was my third time ever watching it. And if anyone that knows me knows, I watch stuff all the time, like over and over and over again, and dissect it. And I couldn't do that with this movie. Not that it was bad, but the one thing that Daniel's going to hate me for saying is I realized last night this movie could have been done, sealed, over with, happy ending by 20 minutes. Because at the 20-minute mark, Tweedledum and Tweedledee are in the freaking ATM, and she's in the car. And she has the keys. Turn the car on and warm the car up.
Yeah, I mean, these weren't the smartest three survivors.
But no, she took out the keys and she ran into the ATM like a dumbbell.
Yeah. Didn't they kind of play on that, though, like later? Like, I kind of like the way the
movie
did. Yeah,
Josh Peck said something about it.
There was a line about it. It wasn't a big, like, narrative piece, but he threw a little line.
No, but
like,
he said something about it when they were fighting.
Yeah, he was like, well, it could
like,
be hurt.
Who told
were,
you to get
yeah.
out of the car?
Yeah, because they were kind of pointing the finger at him. And he was like, well, what about her? She had the keys.
Yeah, like, why did she get out of the car? She could have just sat there.
I'm going to start with my positives. And frankly, I don't even have many negatives. This is a highlight for me. I thought this was a really well done movie. And,
well, like I said, Daniel, it took me 3 tries to figure that out.
Well, yeah, and there's little shit, but that's horror tropes. You know, we're gonna see these in every movie we watch. The characters aren't always the most intelligent, but I understand. As far as a horror movie, though, I thought it was really well done. The eeriness and the vibe, and we talk about vibe a lot on this show because it's important to a film. And the vibe of this was just so creepy and so, and you were on your toes the whole time and never got bored. It was never like, oh God, let's just go to the next thing. No, it's like, oh, what's this motherfucker going to do? So I think that really helped the movie. And Josh,
it was very suspenseful.
It was very suspenseful. It was. And the actress all did a good job. I like the main dude, Brian Gregatti as David.
I felt so bad for him.
He was just such a good guy. Yeah, he was just trying to
get you. And it proves to you that you can really be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what it was, you know. And Emily was just there to be like his love interest and girl he had a crush on at work, but you were slowly kind of getting into her psyche as it was breaking down, because this is also like, this dude's not trying to totally like kill him, he's trying to break them down mentally, and those movies can be
exactly.
very interesting when someone tries
to do that. Absolutely, because you get to see more of a character profile than you normally would with this, the usual slice and dice.
Exactly, and this did a very good job at doing that. I think from all the little things like parking, like just like the fact that they could have got away at the beginning, like there was a few times where they were okay, but they were just so scared of this guy with a crowbar. And there's two grown men, mm-hmm. you know, but they were just, and that's what makes horror so good, because people always think, well, if a guy with a crowbar shows up, I could beat the shit out of him. I'm a great, yeah, but. You know,
literally saw this guy smash a civilian's
yeah.
head like a melon with his foot.
Exactly. And it was so
And they're like,
scary.
We're not going out there.
Yeah.
It just petrified them. I will have to say one thing, though. I feel like that guy went ahead and, like, got that parka from Urban Legend.
Yeah. My only thing is... And I could be wrong. Do ATMs like that really exist anymore? Like, are there a lot of ATMs like that? I don't really think that's, like, a thing
no.
anymore. Like, a lot of ATMs are in banks and shit and stores now.
Yeah, like, they have, like, the little, like, I'm not going to say that they don't have, like, a little space because they do, but it's normally attached to a bank.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I know that was a thing, and... It's a good play on that, but it's not, like, totally relevant.
But
anymore.
Also, they're in, like, aren't they in, like, in New York City?
I believe so. I think that's where it's at.
Yeah, so it could
it's
be
a city
thing, too.
Yeah. But even in, like, New York City, are you going to find an abandoned parking lot like that
yeah,
with one ATM?
Yeah, you're not going to have such an open space like that.
Yeah. That's like it was a really open area for like a New York City. So it was cool, and that was the only thing to where like his plan at the end that he's going to attack so many other of these things. It's like, how many are there, bro?
And how many did he already attack too?
Yeah.
That's what you're left just wondering, is how many did he get away with?
It'd be cool, especially if they did a sequel now, I was thinking, if they explored it, he started doing it on, like, banks and shit. That'd be pretty cool. It'd be a little harder, but if he started trying to take down whole banks with people in it.
Yeah, that would be harder.
But I like
the way that he didn't show his face.
Yeah. No, that was great.
The entire time.
It doesn't make him go down in history or anything, or like a super memorable horror movie villain, but it gives you that eeriness enough, and it gives you that, like, oh, this is probably a regular fucking dude with a hood on. Like, this could be anybody. And I like when movies do that, and that's what this did. It could literally be anybody. It could be a coworker. It could be anybody. You know, and he made that work. He didn't need a like crazy mask or a deformed face. It was just a dude with a hood on. And I almost appreciate that more sometimes.
What I thought was really heartbreaking to me was when he lent the guy that came into the ATM the same coat that he had on. And that guy got ambushed and they killed him. I think that was a little too far, but I understand what the director was getting at. He was getting at the fact that they were desperate.
What, when they ambushed him?
When the one guy with the the one guy with the coat had come into the ATM and they attacked him and killed him.
Yeah, they thought it was him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they thought it was the other guy because he was wearing the same jacket.
I understand what they were doing, too. Yeah. It was a little much, and it was a little like you're throwing too many themes in this, like, because that's, like, a separate theme and maybe a whole nother movie, to be honest.
That's what I felt, honestly. I felt like they took that a little bit too far.
Yeah, that's fine, but it's just, like, you already got a pretty decent premise and some stuff going on here. I didn't need that. That was the one scene I could have cut out. But I didn't mind it either.
I understand what they were doing. They were acting on the they were acting on the victim's desperation to get the hell out.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's just, do I feel like it was necessary? No.
Yeah. It was a bit out of place. But it wasn't too out of place. Like, I didn't hate it in the movie. But I didn't need it either.
Yeah.
I thought it did a lot of things very well. I liked the whole kind of the flooding of the ATM and him, like, putting the water duck in there and shit.
Yeah, that was interesting.
It was intense.
How he was able to screw with them.
It was a very crazy kind of claustrophobic scene that really played on everybody. It was done really well.
I felt horrible for Josh Paxton. He just got stabbed, beaten to a pulp, and now he's floating in the water.
Yeah, he got fucked up. I mean, he was destined. I mean, they all died, right? But he was destined.
No. They didn't all die. The boy ended up surviving, but he went to jail for life because they thought that he killed everyone.
Yeah. He got.
But Josh Paxton got fucked up first. And then the girl, she got fucked up because she was trying to help them get out, and she ended up stumbling and smashing her head on one of the metal things in the ATM.
And by the
on
way,
one of the counters.
That killer, if he's listening to this, we're trying to get on YouTube. We're trying to do a bunch of things. We could use an editor. He did really good job at editing that footage at the end to make it seem
that's
a world-class fucking editor. He could be working for, David Dobrik right now or something. He knows how to edit.
I'm not going to lie, though. He really does know how to edit because he really meticulously went through everything and, like, basically thought to himself, like, what can I do to make this guy the bad guy?
My only thing, and I'm fine with it, and if you saw more of it, let me know. I don't really feel like there was a motive, though. And I know you don't always need one, but, like, besides, like, I get the plan. I know, like, there's a motive. There's a plan. But why? I don't understand, like, the psyche of that. Like, he's not making really money. He's not getting into their ATM and taking all their money. Like, there's not really, like, he's just kind of going through a lot of work and pinning these murders on people, like, just to get his rocks off, maybe? I don't know.
I personally thinking that it could be one of those cat and mouse situations. Like, he wants to see what people would do to escape him.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it because it's a, like, because there are just fucked up people out there that don't have a reason to do what they do. So I like it when movies do shit like that because, like Billy said, you know, the best killers don't have a motive. Even though he did, but
and like Randy said, motives are inconsequential these days.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he's just a fucked up dude with a crowbar that likes, you know, it just seems like a lot of work for, like, no gain except for fucking with people, you know. But he's, like, he's really, like,
yeah,
that's
but
a
you
long
never know. He could be somebody that wants to fuck with people. He could
yeah.
be one of those people, like, a Saw, like a John Kramer, who wants to watch people's desperation and see how far will they go.
Yeah. And you kind of
to get out of a desperate situation.
And that was one of my favorite parts of it, because I think Josh Peck and the other two did a pretty good job at breaking down mentally, just as actors. Like it's a hard thing to do as an actor, and it can look corny. But them losing their kind of mental, like what the fuck's going on here? And, like, this is real, and, you know, we're really scared. And just seeing what that does to their head, I like the way all actors portrayed that. Because this isn't a just kind of like, people die, but it's not one of those movies. Like, you're not there to watch him beat people with the crowbar. You're there to watch these people get fucked with and slowly kind of go crazy and try to find out ways to get out, you know, like an escape room almost.
Yeah.
So that was one of my favorite parts of it because I thought they all acted really well. I thought the girl was really – she was fine. It wasn't like a phenomenal performance, but it wasn't bad. None of them seemed like bad actors. The lead did a pretty good job. It seemed like just a simp. Just fucking, you know, he just –
And Josh Peck did an amazing job as the douchebag best friend.
Yeah, he awesome. He was probably the best actor in the movie.
Yeah, but if you look back on criteria, he probably is the most experienced.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got to remember, like, before even Drake and Josh, he acted on all that. He acted on the Amanda Show.
Yeah.
So he'd been going since he was a young type.
Do you remember that movie where he was, like, the fat bully kid, too? And I'm not going to remember the name of it, so I guess – I don't know why I'm bringing it up, but
– Is that the one with Owen Wilson?
No, I don't
where
think
the kids, where he teaches the kids how to beat the crap out of the bullies.
No, that's not Drill Bit Taylor. This is like a drama with, like, little kids, and it's kind of like a Lord of the Flies – well, not Lord of the Flies, but, like, he – these kids bring him on a trip to, like, fuck with him and, like, take his clothes off and have him, like, kind of by himself, but – He finds out about the plan.
I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but he shows a lot of range in that one, and it's like at a young age it shows because he's like a bully, like a little fat kid that's kind of fucked with at home, and that's why he's a piece of shit. So he shows a lot of range in that movie, and like he's really grown. Like he's just a good actor. Like people try to count the kid out, but like I don't know if you've seen the new Turner and Hooch on Disney Plus, but. Even with a dog hanging out and shit, he's a good actor, and he showed it here.
He is a good. I will have to say he has an incredible range. He's the last person that I would have ever thought would have been in a horror movie. When you came up to me and said, "Hey, you want to watch a horror movie? It has Josh from Drake and Josh," I really thought you were getting the two of them mixed up.
Yeah.
And it was going to
be
Drake because I did not see Josh Peck being able to pull off a role in a horror movie. But he did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, and he's not the comic relief either. Like, he says a couple funny lines because he's the douchey
Look
friend.
At the Christmas party.
Yeah, he says a
the
couple
Christmas
lines.
The Christmas party has to be his shining moment.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I really liked him in the ATM when he was kind of going nuts and, like, freaking the fuck out. But he, like, he wasn't there to be
funny. I'm not
going to
lie, that was funny, too.
But he wasn't there to be funny. I think that's why I liked it. Like, he just showed that he's a good dramatic actor.
Definitely. He showed that, like, yeah, I've been the comedic relief, but I can do something else.
Yeah. And it didn't seem corny or anything. It seemed very natural.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed him in this movie. Our two other leads, the boy and the girl, I have to differ with you a little bit. I didn't like them as much.
Oh,
I think the girl was a little too overdramatic.
I didn't like
them
as much.
I could have done without the screaming and the crying.
Yeah.
I get it, but you don't have to do it throughout the entire movie.
I just thought
and
they were
fun. As far as he goes, him and Josh Peck could have switched roles easily, and it probably would have been a better movie.
Really?
In my opinion.
See, I disagree. He just screams good guy. He's got that puppy dog face. I don't think he could play a douchebag. He didn't come across like that to me.
I mean, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. I mean more so when they all got caught.
Yeah. Well,
Josh Peck's character should have been the one that was left standing.
Yeah. I mean,
and
I
got taken as bad guy.
You felt bad for the poor bastard. You really did feel bad for the guy at the end. It's like, oh, the good guy. It's like, oh, what the fuck?
And that's probably why they did it.
Yeah, because it meant a little more. Because if it was Josh, it was like, well, this guy was kind of a dick anyway. You know?
Exactly. There's not going to be any sympathy towards Josh Peck because he doesn't really deserve it.
Exactly.
So why would they show him sympathy?
As far as kills, I don't think there was anything really to write home about. I think there was a couple decent ones. I'd have to give it to the cops, Crowbar. Out of all of them, that just seemed the most intense.
My favorite. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm done. What do you got?
My favorite has to be when he crushed the one guy who was just trying to fucking walk his dog. He wasn't trying to do anything else. He didn't even care that the guy was in the park guy. He waved to him. He was just a nice guy trying to take a walk with his dog. And what does he do? Butchers them. Yeah, okay. Like, butchers him straight out. Like, smashes his head like a melon. And for me, that's scarier because for me, that shows that this guy ain't messing around. He's literally going to do anything and everything he can to kill them all.
Yeah. No, that was good.
So, I mean, the cop, yeah, it was good. But for me, the dog walker hit a little bit too close to home because for me, that was him, like, saying, like, I'm not playing with you guys.
No, I agree. The one thing I actually did not like about it,
ooh,
and the only narrative choice, I think they went a little too far with Josh's character of them trying to make it seem like he did it. Because it just didn't make any sense for me. Like, I didn't believe it. Like, it's like, okay, he might be behind it. Because, like, him bringing them to the ATM, them being like, oh, wait, I don't have any money. You need to get money. It's like, it all kind of felt like he might have set it up, but it didn't feel, like, strong enough either, you know?
No, because he didn't strike me as the mastermind type.
Yeah. I like how he did it with David because it's like, oh, he's kind of turning on him. But I didn't like it because it was like the movie wanted you to think that, too. And it's like, we don't think that.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I kind of had an issue with it. Because it's like, you know, this isn't believable for me.
Absolutely, I agree. But I also think that for me, the stupidest moment had to have been when they both ran outside to grab Josh's character and bring him back from the ETM. Why don't you just go?
Yeah. Fuck him at that point. You're already pissed off
for a good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, just run. Like, I know y'all aren't a bunch of pussies that can't not grab his legs and grab his arms and run for your guys' life.
Or even, like, at that point, David needs to be a man and just, like, get the jump on the dude. You know, the dude's got his back towards you. Fucking find something big and hit him over the fucking head with it, you know? Do something.
Exactly. Take advantage.
This dude's been beating ass, but he hasn't shown, like...
This movie was definitely a movie that I yelled at.
Yeah, because the guy's, like, he's tough, but he doesn't show that he's not, like, invulnerable. Like, no one's tried to shoot him or hit him or anything, so we don't know what kind of damage he can take because no one really fucking tried. But, like, if those two even tried to get a... Because Josh even said, there's three of us and one of him. But they were like, no, we can't do this.
Because they were so scared.
Yeah, which is a good part of it, too, but it's, the, like, in that moment, I agree with you. It's like, do something. You have 5 minutes. Don't just sit there and fucking watch. Do something, you know?
Like, they were right by the road. They were right by a stop. They were right by a street light. Run a little bit further. Get under the light. You really think he's going to kill you under a light? Because I don't.
Because was the car dismantled at that point? I can't remember.
Yeah, he had dismantled the car at that point. That was after Hutch had already went out to the car to see if he could start it.
Well, then just at that point, fucking run. Like, if you can't help the dude, just fucking run. You know, like, this guy walks pretty slow. Just get the fuck out of there.
Exactly. Like, if you can't stand up to him, then just book it. Why would you go back into the place where he wants you?
Exactly. But overall, I probably would give this movie 8 crowbars out of 10. I thought what it did pretty well. There's nothing I was mad at. Like, all that stuff to me is kind of like nitpicky for me, just like trying to find stuff. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of times this movie didn't work for me. It did. It really worked for it. I thought it was a really well done horror flick.
I will have to give it an 8 out of 10 as well, just because I am being picky, and if I tossed out the pickiness, it was a really good film. Like, when I went into it a couple years ago, guys, with Daniel, and I knew nothing about it, it did creep me out. It was a very creepy, suspenseful, chills up your spine movie, especially when it ends, and he has the map and storage unit, and he's knocking off stuff that he's already knocked off. Like, that's creepy.
Yeah.
It's like, how many people has he killed? Like, he doesn't have much money. It's not like he lives in a mansion. He's in a storage unit.
Absolutely. You want me to tell the good people what we're doing next week?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and take the wheel here, because it's your week next week.
We're going to do, you recently just got this movie on DVD, so you and me can get together and watch it. Hellfest. We're going to be talking about Hellfest. You do have it, right?
I got it.
If not, then we can find it. But we're going to talk about Hellfest.
I'm pretty sure it's at the archive.
Okay, cool. So we're going to be doing that, the horror theme park. And we're also going to be, for a little bonus, we're going to be coming up with mine and Mindy's perfect horror theme park and how we would make a Hellfest in our own mind. So that'll be fun to do. And we will also be deep diving into the movie. That's what I got for next week.
All right, yeah. And just so everyone knows, this movie does star one of our favorites that we have here on the show, which is Aubrey from the Scream TV series. I love her. She plays a douchebag in this movie, but she does it well.
Yeah, and we're also just kind of not, like, rewriting it, but I kind of want to, like, talk about how we would do it, because I feel like this is, like maybe the first purge, kind of where, like, you have a hell of a concept, but not the greatest utilization, because I do think the concept is phenomenal. You know how excited I was
absolutely.
To see
this. Oh, absolutely, but the execution was bland.
Yeah, it's not the greatest movie, and we'll get into that, but kind of what we would do differently and stuff, too, because I think that there could be a lot you could do with that concept.
Yeah. Well, guys, Hootie Hoo, make sure you follow us on our Facebook and our Twitter. Unfortunately, I've been very sick, so I haven't really been able to post anything on TikTok, but we are still on TikTok as well, so make sure you follow us on there. I'll get more content up there as soon as I can. We're also on YouTube as well. We only have a couple of videos up there. We're hoping to get more up there as the time passes, but yeah, we'll be here every Sunday for you guys between 12 and 3, and we hope you guys have a great week and great rest of the day, and be safe.
You too.
Yep, everyone have a nice, scary week, and we'll see everybody next week. Hootie hoo.
All right, hootie hoo, guys. Bye.